I am Pierre Lumumba from Paradise Gardens in Kiambu County in the Republic of Kenya. The conversation is about the continent of Africa, and today we talk about Libya, this country whose name has changed over the years. At one time, the Republic of Libya, at one time, the Libya Arab Jamahiriya. The history of Libya is a checkered history, and history teaches us that at one time the Greeks controlled Libya. It teaches us that the Ottoman Empire controlled Libya. It teaches us that the Italians controlled Libya. It teaches us that the French were present in Libya. It teaches us that the British were present in Libya, and we know Libya a lot more recently when King Idris I was the king of Libya, and Libya came into prominence in 1969 when a group of young soldiers led by Muammar al-Gaddafi overthrew the monarchy of King Idris I. When that happened, it was a revolution that had been inspired in many ways by the revolutionary characteristics of individuals such as Gamal Abdel Nasser. And Muammar al-Gaddafi did a number of things which brought Libya into prominence. He first of all took the view that Libya should be a Muslim country and change its name to the Arab Jamahiriya of Libya. He took the view that Libya should not be a monarch. He took the view that Libya should be a country which should have a different model of government. And when one reads the Green Book, one sees how he constituted the government, and he himself said that he was out of government and he was merely the leader of the revolution. In that regard, he also took the view that Libya was a country that was going to create a revolution of a unique kind. And this revolution demanded, among other things, according to Muammar al-Gaddafi, that Libya must be free economically, socially, culturally, and of course spiritually, to mean religion. And what he did in that regard was to look at the resources of Libya, and oil was the chief resource. And to the administration, to the credit of the administration of Muammar al-Gaddafi, the oil that was produced in Libya after a short while was nationalized and was used to ensure that the Libyan peoples benefited from the dividends that were derived from that oil. He took the view that those resources should be used to improve the quality of people's lives so that housing was improved. He did something that was also very critical in that regard, critical in the sense that he decided to ensure that they would get water from the aquifers in the desert and cause it to be distributed throughout Libya. But there was also an element of expanding the revolution. And when one sees that idea of expansion of the revolution, the very idea of involving Libya in the invasion of Chad. Many of you will remember that Libya was very intimately involved during the Chadian conflict involving Gokuni Wede and Hissène Habré, and he was seen as being expansionist. He was also an internationalist in that regard, and for this, the West did accuse him of being a terrorist, culminating in the bombing of Tripoli in 1986. All these demonstrated a Libya that wanted to be present in the world in a very unique way. In the area of hospitality, Libya used its oil to expand and was involved in different hotels, building construction of hotels in different parts of Africa, and of course was involved in creating an oil company which still goes by the name Oil Libya, in terms of being at the end of not only extraction but also refinement and sale of fuel. And this also catapulted Muammar al-Gaddafi into an orbit which was very unique. That Muammar al-Gaddafi came to be seen not only as a pan-Africanist, but a pan-Arabist in the order of Gamal Abdel Nasser. A pan-Arabist in the order of Gamal Abdel Nasser and a pan-Africanist in the tradition of the Osagyefo Kwame Nkrumah. And it is always important when we are talking about Libya in this regard that when the Organization of African Unity, which had been created in 1963, was seen to be a toothless bulldog and seen to be a colorless organization, it was in Sirte, in his hometown in Sirte, that the whole idea of creating the African Union came about in the year 1999. And when he mooted the idea, it was picked up and ultimately led to the treaty creating the African Union in 2001 and ultimately the coming into force of the African Union in Durban in South Africa in 2002. So indeed, Muammar al-Gaddafi can be credited as having midwifed the African Union. And with what idea? With the intention of creating an African Union and an Africa that was united. I remember at one time he invited the traditional leaders of African ethnicities in Tripoli, and ultimately they were taken to Sirte, and he started mooting the idea of a single currency. He started mooting the idea of having a single army. He started mooting the idea of having a strong Africa. And in that regard, he started attracting enemies. And those are the enemies that ultimately led to the state of the Libya that we know today. He was accused, perhaps legitimately or otherwise, of having been a dictator and an authoritarian leader who was not doing things that was in the best interest of his country. And these are the Western countries saying this about him. And when the Arab Spring started in Tunisia, Libya was not spared. Libya was not spared, with the consequence that fifth columnists and elements from outside of Libya, those who wanted to see Gaddafi and his regime disappear, were present in the streets of Libya, in the streets of Tripoli, in the streets of Sirte, and ultimately the world saw Muammar al-Gaddafi die, killed by Westerners, killed using forces within Libya. And since that day, Libya has never been the same again. Nostalgically today, Libyans may look to the days when Gaddafi was there, but today we have a Libya which is divided. We have a Libya with one government in Tripoli. We have a Libya with another government in Sirte. We have a Libya with many armed factions. We have a Libya where all the things that have been realized, where the oil no longer benefits the people. We have a Libya where the houses that were built are no longer there. We have a Libya where young people have no opportunities. We have a Libya where terrorists are alive and well. We have a Libya where traffickers of women and traffickers of children now use as a gateway to the deadly waters of the Mediterranean on their way to Italy. That is the Libya that we have today. It is a Libya that is divided, is a Libya that has been destroyed. And when one looks at Libya today, and when one looks at the crystal ball, and when one looks at the emergence of all these armed factions, one sees a Libya that has been brought down, a Libya that will take generations to rebuild, a Libya that is now good for the exploitation of Western powers, a Libya where we nostalgically ask ourselves, and I have had conversation with many Libyans, and they say Muammar al-Gaddafi had his many flaws, as do many human beings, but the West, destroyed that country. As I speak to you now, it is beginning to emerge that during the administration of President Obama and during the secretaryship of Mrs. Clinton, we have information which will soon be in the public domain, demonstrating that the Americans and the British had decided that Gaddafi was going to be eliminated regardless. They were accusing him, as we know, of Lockerbie. They were saying that he must compensate. And ultimately, therefore, the question is, what is the fate of Libya? What is the status of Libya? The Libya that I see is a pale shadow of herself. The Libya that I see is a Libya that is a jungle. The Libya that I see is a Libya whose resources are now being exploited for individual purposes. The Libya that I see is a Libya that is now a breeding ground for conflict. The Libya that I see is a Libya that is going to be exploited by Western companies. The Libya that I see is a Libya which is going to take eons to recover. The Libya that I see is a Libya that is going to be in a state comparable only to Lebanon. You and me remember that Lebanon gave the English language a word called Lebanonization. Perhaps there is going to be another word called Libyanization to mean a country which has broken down because all institutions have been crippled. And why are they crippled? They are crippled because in that part of the world, they emerged a leader with fault like all of us, but who wanted a united Africa. Because they emerged a leader in that part of the world that wanted his people to be free. And there are elements within the Western world, within the conceptual West, that do not want such leaders to thrive. They are denied oxygen and they are eliminated in the manner that they eliminated Muammar al-Gaddafi. And we have written the obituary of that Libya, but we pray and hope that like the phoenix before it, Libya will emerge. Can Libya emerge? I believe it can. And this is how I see the function of Africans of goodwill, African institutions, and efforts have been made to try and reconcile the factions which are fighting from different parts of Libya. I hope and pray that it is going to be the case that Africa, when Africa talks about silencing the guns, one of the targeted areas is going to be Libya, and through the institutions of African leaders of goodwill, the factions will be brought together and Libya will be renewed so that her resources once again are available not only for her, but for the people of Africa. It can be done, it must be done, and I believe the Libyans themselves, working with their African brethren and their Arab brethren, can cause it to happen. It must be done. Libya, you are down now, but I believe you will be up again. The conversation about the continent of Africa must continue and will continue, but let us say our goodbyes, knowing as we do, that we will meet again to continue the conversation. Goodbye. See you again.